listen, he's great this morning. If you're at the children's church, you're dismissed. Now you can be dismissed to go back to children's church. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Jackie, for taking care of the kids. Thank you, kids. I tell you, I feel like I got my cup full already. I do. God is so good. God is so good all the time. Listen, title of our message today, as you can see, Preparing to Go. Preparing to Go. We'll flesh that out in just a little bit. But let's turn in our scripture, in our Bibles, if you would, to the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Let's stand to our feet and reverence the reading of God's Word. Preparing to go. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. The Word of God says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory.' And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged.' Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying," here's our memory verse, "'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Let's pray. Father, for a few moments, I pray in Jesus' name, You'll prepare us all to go today. I pray, Lord, within these verses we can find ourselves. Everyone sitting in this room can find where he is with the Lord. And so I'm asking for that this morning. I'm asking you to make yourself so real. Lord, I sent your presence here in a special way. I ain't taking that for granted. And so I come with fear and trembling before the throne of grace. And I ask you, Lord, to hide me behind the cross. And may your word go forth. And may Christ be glorified through the preaching of your word. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. As we've been this week, live out loud, LOL month, and living out loud before the Lord. And we've been going, and you remember last week our message was about being witnesses in Acts chapter 1 and 8. You shall be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And the Great Commission, which says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." He says, man, teaching them to observe all things that I've taught you in Matthew 28. And so this great commission that God's given us, and that we've called to be a witness, and then preparing to go. Well, where am I going, Brother David? It's a good question. And we need to answer that in ourselves today. We need to see in God's Word that He has called each and every person, listen to me, to go. To go. I want us to have a sense of urgency this morning. It's an urgent time. We live in a desperate world. Sin is in control, or looks like it's in control, don't it, and on the throne. And I'm telling you, our world is vastly headed in the opposite direction of God's Word. And yet it's God's people that He's commanded to go, what, take the gospel wherever we go. I want us to keep that in mind, the Great Commission, and living it out. Preparing to go. In Isaiah chapter 6, we'll see the Isaiah, he's answering his call. That call when God's looking, he's looking for everybody. By the way, he's looking for you today. He calls us all. Now, I'm telling you, there's a special call, but he calls us all to be his witness. He calls us all to take the gospel wherever we're at. Wherever our mission field, wherever our feet is planted. I want you to know that as we look at these verses, you're going to see this sequence of His calling. You're going to see stages. And you can find yourself, as I've already said, within one of these sequences. My question is, where are you at this morning? Where is it? Let the Word of God find you right where you're at. You want real and relevant 2016, August, last Sunday in August. Let God's Word touch you, find you right where you're at. Will you do that this morning? Will you be open to God to do that? Because you can find yourself. Now, what does that mean? That means you're going to have to put whatever it is that's going in your mind, whatever you're worried with, whether it's work, health, relationship, you're going to have to right now say, God, just take that from me and let me hear your word today. Quit thinking about where you're going to eat lunch, what you're going to do this afternoon, and say, God, let the word of God speak to me in my heart today. You'll find yourself. I promise you. That's a promise. And so I want us to think about as we get into this this morning and look at this great call, one of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament. I know you ain't supposed to have favorites, Brother Larry, but I do. And this is one of them. Why? Because, God, listen, I want you to see this week, if you can't see already, God took the word as I'm studying and he messed it right in my life and he showed me my life where it is right now, where I'm standing, where he's planted me. And he can do that for you if he can do it for me. And I hope that you can get that this morning. So I want us to look first at this call and preparing to go. And if we're ever going to go, if we're ever going to represent God, if we're ever going to be, we feel like a lot of times, and each one of us can relate to this, we feel like we just could do more. We could do something. Listen, it's not about doing. It's about finding your obedience in him. And so Satan will keep you beat up because you feel like you ain't doing enough, and that's his job just to beat you down and whoop you down. I want you to know something. If you can find your place in Christ, you can find what it is that you're lacking in your fulfillment in your life this very morning. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about doing more. We want to work our way out of it. It's about being in a right relationship with him and allowing him to do it through you. Big difference there. And so I want us to think about preparing to go and look at these stages, these sequences. And the first one is seeing the Lord in his proper place, verses 1 through 4. And listen to what it says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one having six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one cried to another. And what did they say? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by his voice who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. I want you to see, if we're ever going to go for the Lord, first we've got to see the Lord in his proper place. I'm talking about an upward look. You've got to look upwards to the Lord. Dean, I don't know how many times you said, seeing the Lord on the throne today. You didn't know you was confirming this message. Seeing the Lord on his throne and where he's at. And I want you to look, one of the first things that he saw, Isaiah saw God when he looked upward. And why? It was the year King Uzziah died. That's not just there. There's a purpose in all of God's word when he puts it there. Uzziah was a great king. Listen, tragedy had come into Isaiah's life. 52 years, it's the only king Uzziah. Uzziah was the only king Isaiah knew. You can look in Chronicles and talk about in Chronicles 26 and see all about his life. 2 Chronicles 26, he was a great king. He was a warrior king. He built great weapons and all these things, and the kingdom prospered. Listen, it prospered. It was happy days are here again, okay? And as long as you can look up into that palace and see the lights, and you can say, Uzziah's there. We're okay down here. I'm telling you, we'll do that. We'll put our trust. We got an election coming up. I hope you're not putting your trust in either one of the candidates, okay? Okay, I hope not. But we'll put our trust in everything else but the one that we need to put our trust in. And the year that King Uzziah died, when he says, you know what we found him? Where's Isaiah at right now? In the temple. Listen, when crisis comes in your life, that's where you need to be. You need to flee to the Lord's house. You need to be with God's people. Isaiah knew where he needed to be. Why? Uzziah had died. He was not only his king, but he was his friend. Tragedy had come into his life. What is your Uzziah this morning? You know, we can have a lot of Uzziahs. We can put things that are important. It don't matter. It might be a hobby. Oh, I just knew. That's what you look for, your escape. It could be a relationship. It could be a career that you find yourself, that's your Uzziah. Man, as long as that's in place, you're secure. You feel secure and everything's okay. But I want you to know that anything can happen at any time, and that security can be taken away from you. I couldn't help when I thought about that 9/11, we're coming up on it pretty quick, ain't it? Oh, we thought we were invincible, didn't we? We did as America. Everything has changed since then, hadn't it? We're not quite as secure as we used to be. Why? Because we were putting our trust into a men nation, into a Congress, into a White House, into a military might. If we put our trust into anything but God, Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. That security blanket can fall at any time. This morning, let's do it. You got to look up and see. What did he see? That was 742 B.C. That was 742 years before Christ would ever walk this earth. This is happening. You know what? Isaiah gets a glimpse. He looks upward and he sees God. You know who he's seeing on that throne? Listen, let this get to you, John 12:41. John said that Isaiah saw Christ. That's who he saw. That's who he's seeing this morning. He saw him on that throne. He said, when I saw his, Christ's glory, and spoke of him. So there's no question who Isaiah saw today. John confirms that. It's Jesus that he's seeing on the throne. Christ. This is 742 years before he ever steps into this old world. Oh my goodness, this thing is so real and relevant, and the Bible can find you. And it's going to find you this morning, right here where you're at, 2016, if you'll let it. Uzziah was a great king. Isaiah had come to trust in that king and that security, and God had taken it out of the way for him. You know what happened to old Uzziah? Like most men, great king, God had blessed him. He goes in and tries to offer what only the priest could. He got too haughty. Pride. If you're not careful, men and women, pride will trip you up. We talked about this morning. We see God gets to working, doing so many things, and before we know it, it's all about us. God's doing some things down at South Fork. It'll be all about us. We'll get prideful. It ain't about us. It's about Him. Always. And so Uzziah goes in and he offers that, what the priest should only do. And you know what? He broke out in leprosy. It was a leper. What God had blessed so greatly, it ended in foolishness. Foolishness, why? Because he let pride take over. He thought he became great in his own mind. Great promise ended in foolishness because of that rebellion and turning away from God. There's nobody bulletproof in here this morning. Counting your pastor. It's about obedience. Just because you're a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher don't mean we're bulletproof. None of us are. Pride can get in the door of any husband and wife or anything and can destroy anything. I want you to know, if we're putting our trust in anything besides Christ, it can fall and stumble. We can't trust our earthly rulers, okay? All we can do is put our trust in Christ. In that moment, it can get wiped away any moment. Then he sees, you know what happens? Uzziah now is gone. Time of tragedy. He's in the temple. But something happens. Please don't miss it. The veil. That veil that separates heaven and earth. That veil that we all know is there. And yet we seldom ever is it open for anyone. It can be open for us this morning. See, it's open through the eyes of Isaiah. As the veil of the separation between heaven and earth took away. You know what? Uzziah's out of the way now. He looks upward. And what does he do? He sees the king, the true king. That's sitting on the throne. No matter what happened, he's there. He sees, he gets a vision of Christ. And that's what we need to see this morning, a vision of Christ and see him sitting high on his throne. The true king. I'm afraid that we've shrunk the majesty of Christ down. Say, why? If we really understood the majesty of the king that's on the throne, we would worship a little different. We wouldn't be dozing and sitting, can't keep our eyes open this morning. We would get a glimpse of who the king is, okay? We would see him for who he is. The reason is we've shrunk the majesty of God down into something that just fit in. This is how I believe. This is what I think about God. Hadn't got a thing to do with the majesty of the one that we rule. This is how I believe. That's what we've become in America, prideful. What does it matter? What does God's Word say? We see the king sitting up, I'm going to tell you, it's going to do something for us. We're going to worship a little different. Like, oh, hallelujah. But let something else go. Let your team win the Super Bowl. Woo! I'm serious. We don't see him like we should this morning. We should see the king high. And listen, Isaiah got a glimpse of the king. Things are getting ready to change for him, all right? He lost Uzziah. He's seen the king. I can't help it. Listen, it said, and his robe filled the temple. I got to thinking about that. Come on now. I'm saying, Isaiah. Isaiah, John, you're looking at Jesus. You're seeing Jesus on the throne. You talk about his robe. What's going on here? Exodus chapter 24. Moses tells him, get the 70 elders and bring them on up here. God said, come on, you're going to worship me. And they get up there and they're talking about the pavement he's standing on. It's blue like sapphire. I'm thinking, what are they talking about pavement? What are they talking about robes? Guess, get a look here. They're on their face. They ain't standing there. They ain't standing there and they're on their face grumbling. And when you're down low, all you see is pavement. All you see is the robe. Why? Because you can't even look upon his majesty, his greatness. He's talking about the robes filling the whole temple's filled with his robe. Why? Because he's on his face. He's bowing before the king. He's brought low. And then he sees he's there from these angels that are flying. What in chapters 2 and 3, and six wings covered their face and their feet, and they're flying. Listen, humility. For covering their face before the holy God. Service, they're flying. Humility and service should always be. When we get a picture, an upward look, and we see God in his proper place, humility and service follows right after that. But not only that, look what are they doing. Humility, service, and praise. What are they saying? Holy, 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 they're saying. Back and forth. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Man, they're created beings and all they're doing is serving in humility and praising God. Listen, that should be our response when we get an upper look. Humility, humbled that by His grace that He would save one such as ourselves. And yet looking to serve because He's called each and every one of you that He's called into His kingdom to serve in a way. You got to find that purpose. And it may be a lot of times when we don't have the purpose in our life, it's because we're not looking why He called us. He saves us for a purpose. It's not just to take, but to give and to serve. And it's meant to praise. How much do you praise Him in your life? Holy, holy, holy. They're not talking about what He can do. Come on. We'll praise Him for what He does. He's who He is. How much do we praise Him for just being that God, that Holy One? That Christ that, listen, yes, He came and He saved us on a cross, but look, He stepped out of this kingship. He stepped down on the earth. He who He is, He's full of grace. He's just. He's merciful. He's God. Whether He did anything else for us, He'd still be worthy of our praise. Holy, holy, holy. And look at verse 4. Don't forget. Look what's happening. The posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. When God shows up, the place is not the same. I'm going to tell you something this morning. It would scare us to death if God really showed up on a Sunday morning. You say, what are you talking about? If He really showed up one Sunday morning, it'd scare you to death. Why? Because things would be changed. It would be changed. I tell you what, I'm so sick and tired of the people that are relying on a salvation that'll get them to heaven and won't change their life. It's weak and anemic and all these things that go through. Listen, I'm talking to myself, by the way. You go through hardships up and down, right and row. Listen, I'm sick and tired of us saying, we love Jesus, we believe in Him, but listen, it's not changing our life. We go out here and we live just like the world does. We don't look any different. No different. We're saved. We got our get out of hell free card. That's not the salvation of the Scripture. When God shows up, how would you like if the smoke filled this place today? I guarantee you it'd scare the fire out of you, wouldn't it? Because you'd think He's a fire. It's shaking. What if the place was shaking? I guarantee you it'd shake you out of your lethargy then, wouldn't it? Just serving the Lord same old way we always do. When Uzziah gets out of the way, he sees the true king sitting and gets an upward look. He's down on his face before the Lord. Things are changing, ain't they? God's in the house. When God's in the house, things will change. Not only that, seeing God in his proper place. Seeing the Lord in his proper place. But look at number two, seeing ourselves in our proper place. Look at verses 5 through 7. So I said, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. You see, when we get an upward look, we also get an inward look. He's on his face before the Lord. Remember, he's bowed, and he realized, you know what he's coming face to face with? When you come face to face with the King, you'll come face to face with yourself, and you'll realize you're just a rotten, dirty sinner. Oh, we are. And that's what Isaiah, he's coming to himself, an inward look. And one of the first things he sees is he needs repentance. Verse 5, woe is me, he says. Woe is me. We try to make this non-existent today, okay? That's not politically correct. We got to watch out. Listen, we might make somebody feel like they're just not right or not measuring up. We want everybody to feel good about themselves. Isaiah said, woe is me. I'm sinful. I'm sinful. I'm standing before a holy God, and I'm a sinner. I'm dirty. I'm rotten. I'm unclean. And repentance, we try to make that. Self-despair, we see him in self-despair. We won't want that to be non-existent. We don't want to preach about hell being hot today. We don't want to preach that there's a whole world going to hell around us, plunging into a sinner's hell without Jesus Christ. We don't want to do that because it makes people feel bad. And yet the Scriptures have told us to go. And we got to help people and love people and live for Christ and get a look at him and get a look in inward at our own selves. Woe is me, he said. You see, when you get your Lord in his proper place, when we see God, it's not woe is you. It's not pointing fingers at everybody else. It's woe is me. Woe is me. Got to be careful. Whoa, that sermon, I'm so glad this so-and-so heard it. Listen, it might not be for so-and-so. It might just be right for you. Woe is me, is what Isaiah said. Why? Because he had seen the Lord and he saw himself. His encounter with the Holy One who was holy. And Isaiah realizes that he's not. He's not. We can't compare to God. None of us can. We have nothing to offer him but brokenness when we come before the King. Brokenness and humility before the King. It's an awareness. He comes to an awareness of incompleteness is what he's doing. You know, we despair to make life meaningful. Do we not? We want to make life meaningful. And Isaiah comes to the realization that in his state, in his uncleanness, he has nothing to offer. There's no meaning without this coming to this realization that here I stand before a holy God, unholy and unclean. And I want you to see, he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. Why does he say that? Because it's the lips are an expression of our lives. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he's realized, Isaiah's realizing, my lips are unclean. That's my life is unclean. That's what he's saying. He's holy and we're sinful. When we see ourselves as sinners, here's the deal. We have to see ourselves as a sinner if we're ever going to be in right standing with the holy God. You have to. You have to come to that place. How about you today? Have you ever come to the place where you said in your own life, I'm a sinner? You saw God. You looked inside and saw yourself where it was at and said, I'm a sinner. Because if you ain't come to that place, you're lost, by the way. Lost. I don't care who you grew up with or what you grew up with or how much you went to church. If you've never come to places, woe is me and not woe is you. Woe is me because I'm a man of unclean lips or a woman of unclean lips and I stand before a holy God. You're lost. I don't care what you've done, what you've said, or anything. We have to repent and turn to God and lay our sins at his feet. Not only that, listen, repentance, salvation and repentance go hand in hand, all right? It's more than just ask Jesus into our hearts. It's a repenting. It's a turning away from sin and turning to Christ this morning. Listen, salvation is not just a tune-up, okay? It's a complete overhaul, all right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if any man, woman, boy, or child is in Christ, what are they? A new creation. All things old have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's not a tune-up. It's an overhaul. It's a complete change in our life. And I'm going to say, listen, if that's happened to you, you should know it. You don't have to scratch your head and wonder. It's got to be a time where repentance came into your life. And you saw God and you saw yourself. And you placed your sins at His feet. Listen, because the next is cleansing. Look at verse 6 and 7. When we see God, we need a cleansing. We repent. We turn to Him. We've got to be clean before we can see God again. Properly, look. Isaiah did not plead. He didn't make promises. God had made a way for His cleansing. What did it say then? That seraphim flew and he took that tongue off the altar. Now listen, any of you ever barbecued on the grill, right? Them charcoals get hot. Last thing you want is that thing touching your lips, ain't it? You don't want to be, it don't matter. And the angel flies over there with them tongs and gets it off the altar and he takes and he cleanses it, touches it. What did Isaiah say? Woe is me, for I'm what? A man of unclean lips. God knows exactly what needs to be cleansed. He comes to him, and apart from divine cleansing, listen, it's impossible to have a clean heart. It's impossible. Apart from self-surrender and a divine cleansing, a clean heart is impossible, okay? I want you to see, God made a way, and he's going to cleanse him. The world, listen, that tells me the world don't need another president, right, to make things right, or another leader. It needs a Savior. Okay? Why? Because the only one that can forgive us of our sins, and when we turn in repentance, the only one that cleanses us is the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? The world needs a Savior. That's what we need today. And so I want you to know he's gonna have to be cleansed before he hears the voice of God. Well, hold on to that just a minute. You'll see that. So that tells me we must not only be positionally righteous. You say, what are you talking about? In Christ, when we come in Christ, and He cleanses and the righteousness of Christ applied to our life, we're positionally in Christ, but practically righteous. We live out what we say that we are positionally. I'm telling you now, we're getting into the short roads here because your life plays out where you are positionally, by the way. I'm going to tell you, you ain't fooling God. You can fool everybody in here. And you can say, oh, I'm right with the Lord, but your life plays out what you are positionally. Your life does. And it tells us in Isaiah here, he needs a cleansing. And listen, to hear an answer, we must live day by His standard. If we're going to hear God. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 24, he says, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Do you remember what he said? Who was it? He with clean hands and a pure heart. Repentance and cleansing. Before we can come into the presence of a holy God, an upward look, we have to have an inward look. We have to be clean before God through Christ before we can ascend the hill of the Lord. Before we can do anything for God. If we're not, we're just going through the motions. That's all we're doing. In fact, I want you to know something. We need to have an ask for a thirst for righteousness and a hatred for sin. Live coal was taken with tongs from the altar and it touched his mouth with it. Painful and searing. But it purged his sin and his iniquity is what the scripture says. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. This is everyone's need. Everybody's ever drawn a breath on this earth. Purging. We're all born into sin. We need a Savior. We need a cleansing, okay? Without, please listen to this, without the cleansing, just seeing God and seeing our sin just makes us miserable. The closer we get to God, the more we see our sin. When we get a picture of God, we see our own sin. When we're not cleansed, we're just a miserable individual, okay? We can try and play and do whatever to keep it off our minds, but the hound of heaven is always after us, and when we've seen God, we've seen our own sin. You're the most miserable person in the world, really, deep down. Because you've not come to the cleansing, you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ. It just makes us miserable. That's what it does. But please look. When we see God, the Lord, in His proper place, and we see ourselves in our proper place, you know what we do? We hear His voice. Look at verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. I had an upward look, an inward look. When we get that right, we'll have an outward look. We'll have an outward look. Notice, the Lord does not speak until then. Apart from the cleansing, we will not hear His voice. He says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? God's not coercing, by the way. He's not coercing Isaiah to do something. Which, by the way, the only way, and we'll always have to coerce those and beg those to do something for the Lord who ain't been changed. Okay? That's what you have to do. Beg and coerce people that haven't been changed. But you get somebody that's got a hold of it and the Lord's got in their life, you don't have to beg them. They're looking to serve the Lord. They're looking to serve the Lord. He's given Isaiah an opportunity, ain't he? How does Isaiah respond? What does he do? Here am I, man. You know what he's saying? Could it be me, Lord? Could it be me? Could you use me to do something? Lord, here am I. Send me, offers himself, here am I. What I do, Lord? What I do? What about you? Are you someone that says yes to the Lord Jesus? The only response to the Lord is yes, okay? That's it. Well, maybe, no, that ain't the right response. Yes, when we see God in His proper place, we see ourselves, we see the cleansing that He's brought in His life, our only response is yes. Yes. Don't know how many times you approach somebody to help you, they got everything else in the world to do, but they ain't got time to serve the Lord. Don't tell me that everything's right with your life, okay? Don't tell me that. If the Lord then, if we're always, as our answer is yes, you know what? Oh, He might not be calling you some faraway field. That's what most of us are scared to death of. Oh, if I say yes, He might take me out of Boone and Watauga or Todd. Woo! Lord, it says we need to trust. We need to have a faith that trusts God outside the borders, all right? Trust Him outside the borders. We want to box Him in. As long as He says serve here, we're all right. Some of that scare you to death. Well, I've always been here. My family's always been here. What if God says go? He wants you to be willing to go. Just be willing. He might not send you across the sea, but He might send you across the street if you'll just say yes. Just say yes. You know what Isaiah said? I just want to go for you. Across the street or across the sea, here am I, send me. That's a good little poem. I didn't realize it even rhymed. Across the street or across the sea, here am I, Lord, send me. That should be our answer when God's in His proper place. Time of grace and the day of grace is going to come to a close one of these days. Whenever I was studying this, and I got to this point in the message, I realized, listen, September 12, 2002, in a little old church down in Valdez, North Carolina, North Laurel Baptist Church at a missions conference, God had already been doing a work in Sandy and I's heart. And little did we know, unexpectedly, we go to this mission conference, okay, on a Thursday night, because I wasn't going to miss my church on Wednesday night. Even before I was a pastor, that's the way I thought, okay? It wasn't anything to do with the pulpit. Same standard for the pulpit and the pew, by the way. Thursday night we went. I'll just be honest with you, big old heavy guy, had a bad toupee.
He talked like this, Brother Larry.
He put on his preaching voice. Listen, you know what I'm talking about. I stereotyped and I thought, boy, we're going to get a heater tonight. Listen. That man preached Gideon, Judges chapter 6. It was like the Spirit of God sat down beside of us that night, and He hammered. You know, let me tell you what I've been doing. I have been trying to make the American dream fit God's call. It ain't going to fit, all right? I have been trying for a year to figure it out, how all this was going to make and mesh together. And that night, He preached about giving God our all, and I didn't tell you, the whole family went up. I was more scared to leave out. I was at a crossroads with God right there. It was as close to my salvation experience as I'd ever had. And I knew if I left there and didn't choose the right path, listen, I was headed down the wrong road. Scared me absolute to death. We all went forward as a family. And I'm sitting up there, listen, I'm sitting up there praying and saying, God, I've been trying to figure this all out, make it work. And I'm sitting there, and it's like the Spirit of God said, look at your hands. And I had my hands was like this. And I said, what? I said, Lord. He said, that's what you've been holding on to. Nothing. Nothing. You see, we hold on to all these things that we hold on so dear, and we think that we can't open our hands to God, and God's looking for people just to open their hands and say, here am I, Lord. Just send me. And you know what? You want real and relevant? I stand before you on August 28th. Not 2016 right here in this church as your pastor because of that night that went on. Little did I know we were ready to go anywhere he sent us. He sent me to Todd to be your pastor. If he can do that with me, what can he do with you? Quit being scared about letting it all go with God and just say, Lord, here am I, send me. Quit getting caught up in the things of this world that don't mean nothing. When you get, listen, Job said, naked I came into this world, naked I leave. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't have a thing to do. You could take everything Job had. You couldn't take the Lord from him. That's how he was able to worship. What are you holding on to today? What is your King Uzziah? God will get it out of the way. God will get it out of the way if we don't give it all to him. Are you willing to go anywhere? Is your answer yes? Is he Lord of your life anywhere, any place? Here am I. Just send me, Lord. If you've got a vision of the Lord and you've seen what he's done for your life, and you know he's cleansed you, that's always going to be your answer. If it's not, something's out of whack. You remember those sequences I told you about? That's where we're at. You've got to find yourself in one of them. If you're not at that place, you're out of whack with the Lord, each and every one of us. Jesus was willing to step out. That was Christ on the throne. 742 years later, he would come to this earth in the form of a baby, born to a virgin in an old stable to go to a cross for you and for me. He was willing to go anywhere, any place. For you and me. And he's called us to go for him. Preparing to go is seeing him in his proper place, seeing us in our proper place, and then saying, you know what? I hear your voice, Lord. I'm willing to go do anything. Applications will be done. Have you experienced his presence? Have you had that moment where Christ became so real to you that he was your Savior? Because number two, have you been broken of your sin? If you've never seen God and seen your sin, you're lost. You're lost. Number three, have you heard his voice? Have you heard his voice? Let's stand on our feet. Linda, come and play. I ain't going to tarry very long. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord's here. You don't have to tarry long in the Spirit of the Lord here. If he's spoken to you and you need to make something right with him, then when Brittany, when you start singing, as soon as she starts singing, you come forward. If you're lost, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, guess what? He could save you this morning. Be thankful that the Holy Spirit, because your heart's beating right now, and you're trying in your mind to convince yourself of everything. You're wanting to just get out of here, put it out. But listen, you can run all you might. And one of these days you'll wish you'd never run because the Spirit of God wants to save you. What is it? What about, you know what, I'm just not at that place. Here am I, Lord, send me. I'd be scared to death to say, here am I, Lord. I would. Just be honest before the Lord. Just say, God, make my heart where I'll just go wherever you want me to go. Lord, I've seen that you stepped out of heaven for me. I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone for you. What is it God's saying to your life, Brittany? Just as you are, it's a good song. But that thy blood was shed. not going to tarry long. What's God said? What about you? You know you lost. Don't put it off. There's nothing you can hold on to. Remember, you wrap your hands around something. Nothing. Nothing's worth holding on to. Christ is calling your name. If he's calling, just give it up. I promise you it'd be the best thing that ever happened to you this morning. What's he saying? Others have come. What about you? Not going to tarry long. One last stanza. Grace of God holds out. One last stanza. What about you? Forward, if you know the Spirit of God's working with you and you want to talk to me, coming forward something far, and you just see me, I promise you the best, that's the most greatest thing, is coming to know Jesus Christ. And on this side of it, on what he's called me to do, I'd do it a billion, million times over again, without a doubt. Listen, Brother Larry, thank you for coming. He's got a table back here. Maybe if you want to get some information from him and be a part of supporting a great ministry, then you stop by his table. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock. We'll have time finger food fellowship, hanging out together in the Word of God again. Think about that. Don't just write that off. Again, we give God, what are we giving God? Our life plays it out. What is it the Lord wants from you? That's the question to answer. Lee closes in prayer.